He promised us that he would be our counselor, a mighty God and a Prince of Peace. He promised us that he would be our Father and would love us with a love that would not cease. Well, I tried him and I found his promises are true. He's everything he said that he would be. The finest words I know could not begin to tell just how much Jesus really means to me. For he
ladies, that was a blessing. Food for the soul. Amen. Outstanding. Exodus chapter 40. Find the last chapter of the second book in your Bible. Exodus chapter 40. Thank those who play the instruments for the groups who sing. A lot of times they're overlooked. Thankful for those of you ladies who provide accompaniment for the specials. Thank you for your service to the Lord and for our church. Amen. Exodus 40, if you are able to stand, then please join me in honor of God's word this morning. Look with me beginning in verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, on the first day of the first month shalt thou set up the tabernacle of the tent of the congregation. Drop down to verse 16. Thus did Moses, according to all that the Lord commanded him, so did he. And it came to pass in the first month, in the second year, on the first day of the month, that the tabernacle was reared up. Look at verse number 34. Then a cloud covered the tent of the congregation, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. I want to speak this morning on the subject, what brings the glory cloud? What brings the glory cloud? Father, I pray that You'd help us today as we look at this chapter. Feed us from Your book. Teach us, Lord. I pray that we would learn of You, of Christ, this morning. Thank You for the good messages in song today. The choir sang about the rock, Christ Jesus. These ladies' wonderful song about how faithful Jesus is to us and more wonderful. And so, Lord, we've been blessed today by music. Now come through Your Word and minister to our hearts, I pray. Draw us closer to You today. And Lord, if there's someone in our congregation without Christ as their Savior, may today be their day of becoming a born-again child of Yours. Help me, I pray, as I preach Your Word in Jesus' name and amen. Thank you and be seated. One of the most difficult elements of getting a message to preach can be selecting a text. It's not difficult to write a sermon, to be honest with you. You choose a passage of Scripture, you study it, you outline the truths that support the theme in that passage, and then you make application to God's people preaching it, okay? It's God's Word. You can't go wrong if you preach the book, all right? But as a preacher, and especially as a pastor, you want to do more than preach sermons. You want to deliver God's message to His people. You want to deliver something fresh from heaven's oven, some warm bread that will feed and nourish the soul. In homiletics, I teach the young men up there at school that there are several ways to select a text. And then you deliver, of course, the warm bread on Sunday morning or Sunday evening. And one of those ways is through having consistent personal devotions. So I want to stop here and just put a plug in and say, I hope you are having devotions. I hope you're having them consistently. It's easy to start the year with a real zeal, you know, but if we're not careful, folks, that zeal wanes and fades, and before you know it, you miss a day, and that becomes two. Before you know it, 2 days becomes four. You don't want to go any length of time apart from God's Word personally. So read it, okay? Get a passage and read it for yourself. I'm reading the book chronologically this year. I enjoy doing it that way. So I read Genesis 1 through 11, and then I read the entire book of Job, and then I read beginning with Genesis 12 through 50, and then the book of Exodus. And I had in my mind what I wanted to preach to you this morning, but as I was reading in my devotions, God drew my attention to this passage. And so here we are this morning with, I hope, something fresh from heaven's oven that will speak to our hearts. Now, in Exodus chapter 40, the children of Israel have been out of Egypt for 1 year. You remember the Red Sea. You remember the blood on the doorpost, Passover lamb. You remember the Red Sea, okay? You remember Mount Sinai and God giving Moses the law, part of the law, Ten Commandments, and all about the tabernacle. And in the process of Moses getting all that, the people under Aaron's leadership go bananas and they make a golden calf and they have a wild party. And God's anger is just lit up and He tells Moses, get down there and I'm going to wipe them all off. And Moses pleads for them, oh God, they're Your people. And then God did end up, and Moses broke those tablets, threw them down in righteous indignation, smashed them to the ground. And then God did deal with His people, and 3,000 of them died because of this crazy orgy they had and so forth. And so here this thing's going on, and then God has to call Moses back up to Mount Sinai, give him the commandments again, and give him all the instructions about the tabernacle. And then after Moses was done, got it all, God anointed Bezalel and some other men to build the tabernacle, and the people gave willingly, and all the items are built. When you come to Exodus 40, everything's done. They're all built. Each individual piece of furniture is built. The priest's garments are made. The covering for the top of the tabernacle. The curtains that make up the tabernacle proper. The curtains that make up the fence around the courtyard. Everything, all the instruments needed for the altar and the laver and everything is done. It's all made. And now in chapter 40, they're going to put it all together. They're going to set it all up. And verse 2 tells us there that God told them to set up the tabernacle on the first day of the first month. When he said set it up, he's talking there about the curtains, if you will, that made up the tabernacle proper, okay? So they set that up. And then in verse number 3, he tells them to put the ark in place. And that involved the mercy seat and the cherubims. And then put the veil up that's going to separate the Holy of Holies from the holy place. In verse 4, he tells them to put the table of showbread in place. Put the bread on it and all the instruments needed. And in verse 4, he also says, put the candlestick in its place and light it. In verse 5, put the altar of incense there right in front of the veil. And so you got the candlestick here. You got the showbread over here. You got the altar of incense up against the veil. And he tells them to put that up and set the hanging that makes the door into the whole tabernacle. And in verse number 6, he tells them to put the altar of burnt offering in its place and all the things that pertain to it. Verse 7, it's the laver and the water that goes in it. In verse 8, it's the courtyard fence and the material that's put up to make the courtyard fence and the courtyard gate. In verse number 9 through 11, he tells them, take the oil, the anointing oil. Boy, you could preach on this forever. And anoint every part of it. Anoint every part of it with the anointing oil. And then in verses 12 through 15, you get Aaron and get his boys together and you get their clothes on and you get their garments, their priestly garments, and you anoint them, okay? And then you get down to verse 16 and the Bible says, thus did Moses. So he did it. What does that mean? It tells us what that was, beginning in verse number 17 and 18 here. Verses 18 and 19, Moses did what he was told in verse number 2. In verses 20 and 21, Moses did what he was told in verse number 3. In verses 22 and 23, Moses did what he was told in verse 4. In verses 24 and 25, Moses did what he was told again in verse 4. In verses 26 and 27, Moses did what he was told in verse 5. In verse 28, Moses did again what he was told in verse 5. In verse 29, he did what he was told in verse 6. In verse 30 through 32, he did what he was told in verse 7. In verse 33, Moses did what he was told in verse number 8. And then you come to verse 34. Then a cloud, not a rain cloud, church, not a thunder cloud, not a storm cloud, a glory cloud. The glory of God descended on that tabernacle and didn't just descend on the tabernacle. It filled the tabernacle so much so that Moses was not able even to enter into the tabernacle and the children of Israel. They all saw the very presence of God descend upon that tabernacle. Now, a careful reading of this chapter teaches us something so vital about the glory of God's presence. Hear me this morning. 17 times in verses 2 through 15, God gave Moses a command. 17 times. 8 times, the Bible tells us, beginning in verse number 16, all that the Lord commanded him, so did he. You can see it at the end of verse number 19, as the Lord commanded Moses. At the end of verse 21, at the end of verse 23, at the end of verse 25, at the end of verse 27, at the end of verse number 29, at the end of verse number 32, Moses did as he was commanded. 17 commands, and Moses did each time as he was commanded to do then. Not before then. Then. The glory of the Lord's presence descended on that place, and the glory cloud showed up. Now, people, I know that we are the temple of God today. I know when we assemble, we are built up an habitation for God, as Paul taught us in the New Testament. And I know that the most vital, critical element of our individual lives, of our corporate life as a church, is that we walk and worship in the reality of God's presence. Oh, the benefits. Oh, the blessings of the glory cloud descending on us individually, descending on us corporately. Far more important than the house we dwell in, the vehicle we drive, the work we carry out, the money we make, the possessions we own. Far more important than all of that added together is the reality of God's sweet and powerful presence abiding on us, abiding on our families, abiding on and in our homes. And I'm using the word home this morning as a synonym for family, because let me tell you something. You can have a home in any kind of house, be it fancy or plain, large or small, new or old. Any house can have a home when that home is covered by the presence of God. How blessed that home is. I don't care if it's a home with a dad and mom and young children, or a home with a single widow or widower living in it, or a home with an elderly couple who's raised all their children, or a home with a single mother or a single dad raising children. You're not going to find a perfect home anywhere. But I want to tell you something, friend. If the abiding cloud of God's mercy and grace and love and blessing touches that home, what a dwelling place that will be. If that kind of love and mercy and grace touches my life, what a life I'll have. If the abiding love, abiding cloud of God's mercy and grace and love and protection and blessing abides on the church, what a church we will attend. I'm just saying, friend, listen, one of the most important things in life is that you and I live individually as families and corporately as a church, is if we live with God's abiding presence of blessing on our lives. I know that we're indwelt by the Holy Spirit. I get it. I get that. But I will tell you something. There's a lot of Christian people, and there's a lot of churches, unfortunately. A lot of Christians who have the abiding, indwelling Holy Spirit within them, but the glory cloud has not descended. The glory cloud has not descended. There's a difference in being indwelt by the Holy Spirit because you were born into God's family. You know you're on your way to heaven. I get that. There's a difference in that and having God's glory cloud. You know what this cloud meant to the children of Israel. You know what it meant. They didn't move unless the cloud moved. It was a cloud by day to protect them from their enemies. It was a pillar of fire by night. Again, what did the shepherds do to protect the flock from the wolves? They build a fire. It was God's protective hand. It was God's blessing. It was God's anointing on His people. It was more than just you and I having the indwelling Holy Spirit. It's God's glory cloud descending upon us. Listen, what a difference the reality of God's presence makes when we meet together on this street corner. People, there is nothing more important than we have the glory cloud descending upon the services, the work, and the ministry of Faith Baptist Church. I'm going to tell you something. We could have the fanciest of all facilities. We have a nice one, but it could be far fancier. We could have the largest offering in the world. We could have the most talented platform ministry of both music and preaching. But as the old hymn writer said, all is vain unless the Spirit of the Holy One comes down. That's true about here. That's true about my home. That's true about my life. All is vain unless the Spirit of the Holy One comes down. I want to tell you something. God's presence in a local New Testament church turns a service into a meeting. I mean, where you go home and you've been in a meeting. You haven't just assembled together and sung a few songs and shaken a few hands. You go home and your heart's burning. And your heart is stirred because you met with God. You came to the church house, but more than coming to a church house and four walls and some padded pews, the glory cloud descended on that meeting and it turned into something wonderful where God challenged us and fed us and encouraged us and helped us. That's only possible if the glory cloud comes down. God's presence turns a song into a ministry. We didn't just get sung to a few moments ago. We got ministered to. We got ministered to by the ladies in the accompaniment over here. We got helped by that. That's God's presence. God's presence turns a Sunday school class into just an informal gathering, into sitting at the feet of Jesus and learning of Him. You want to keep people walking through the doors of Faith Baptist Church? Yes, there's some things that we must do. We must be out on the streets. I'll talk about that matter of obedience in just a minute. But you want to keep people walking through the doors here? You let them hear from somebody that visited the church that I went to that church and I may not agree with everything that I heard, but I want to tell you something. God ministered to my heart there. My heart got helped. My heart got blessed. I felt the presence of the Lord in that service at Faith Baptist Church. Do you want to make your time and effort to come here for the services faithfully? Do you want to make that worthwhile? Then God's glory cloud needs to abide on this place. What a difference when God shows up in a place. So, what seems to be the key to God's presence showing up? I think you know it, don't you? 17 times, God said, thou shalt. 8 times, we're told that Moses did as he was commanded. People, you cannot underestimate, neglect, forget, downplay, whatever adjective you want to use, you cannot downplay. Or is that an adverb? I don't know. It's one or the other. Okay? But you cannot downplay the importance of obedience. How simple. How difficult. I think about you young families. I rejoice every time you get a house. Every time you can upgrade a vehicle, maybe even get a better job. But I want to tell you something. You will never have, with all the fancy things of this life, what you will have if the glory cloud descends on your home. Never. Never. And even as an individual, I mean, you can accomplish and accomplish and accomplish, but if the glory cloud does not descend upon our life, we will miss out on the most important thing in this life. It's obedience. They did as they were commanded. Every time God said, thou shalt, Moses did. In fact, in one verse in the chapter, and I don't recall exactly which one, the Bible tells us somewhere that Moses finished. Oh, yes, the end of verse number 33. So Moses finished the work. So let me say two or three things this morning about this matter of obedience. What can we learn from this chapter about the glory cloud showing up and what brings the glory cloud and God's presence? Number one, let me show you the repetition of obedience. The repetition of obedience. We read over and over again, as I've already said this morning, thou shalt, thou shalt. And in response, we read as the Lord commanded Moses. People, it is mentioned over and over and over again. And I do not see this in this chapter as vain repetition. I would never accuse God of that. You really want to point your finger at God and say, why did you repeat all of that? That is for a reason. That is not vain repetition. That is vital repetition. It is teaching us that the glory cloud shows up in accordance with our obedience. And it is so important that we get in the habit of repeatedly being obedient. We learn this in other places throughout the Word of God. And the truth of the matter is, friends, sometimes it's just doing what God said in life over and over and over. If you're looking for some magic potion, if you're looking for some mystical formula, if you're looking for something written in the sky, you're not going to find it. It is obedience over and over and over. Every time they took the tabernacle down, they had to set it up the same way. Every time. Repetitive obedience. Repetitive obedience. It's Sunday. I'm going to church. Morning. It's Sunday night. I'm going to church. It's Wednesday night. I'm going to church. It's Monday. I'm reading my Bible. It's Tuesday. I'm reading my Bible. It's Monday. I'm going to pray a little bit. It's Tuesday. I'm going to try to be a good husband. It's repetitive obedience. Over and over and over and over. And God speaks. It's sometimes we want to do we feel like the fancy thing, the off-the-wall thing, the thing that nobody else has done. Will bring God's power and His glory cloud on us. It's not so. Can I remind you of the story over in 1 Samuel 15? You remember it? When God told King Saul to destroy all the Amalekites. And King Saul brought Agag. Brought Agag the king back to the camp of Israel and the sheep and the oxen. He didn't obey God fully. And here came the prophet Samuel. And Saul met him out there, said, Samuel, woo, hey, God gave us the victory, man. We had a great time. God gave the victory. And Samuel said, really? He said, well, what's all that lowing of the oxen I hear and all that bleating of the sheep? Well, you got to understand that we needed some things to sacrifice. So we brought the oxen and the lambs here, the sheep here, so we could sacrifice to God. Do you remember what Samuel said to him? Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is, come on church, is what? Better than sacrifices, and to hearken than the fat of rams. You know what Samuel was telling Saul? He said, Saul, let me tell you what's important in life. What's important in life is not that you try to justify your sin, your disobedience, by going out and overdoing it in one area to kind of cover up the other areas of disobedience. The thing to do, Saul, is to listen to God and obey Him. That's the best thing you can do. There's nothing better than just a repetition of obedience over and over and over and over. And Monday tomorrow, obeying God's commands. And Tuesday, obeying God's commands. And Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday. And next Sunday a week from now. And next month a month from now. And next year a year from now. Jesus is still in heaven. Repetitive obedience over and over and over. But I never get involved in anything really big. You're already involved in something big. That is the best you can do. There is nothing better. Just obey and 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 obey. What Samuel told, what he told Saul. These young ladies getting married, and these couples around here that hadn't been married very long and looking at life and hoping to do this and have this. And there's nothing wrong with that. I'm not against having visions and dreams about what you want to accomplish in life. But I'm going to tell you, along with that, please, please understand, you can do, have, and be all of the things the world has to offer. But if you don't have the glory cloud on your relationship, on your home, on your life, if we don't have it on our church, we'll miss the very best that we possibly can have and be. Individually, how we need the presence of God on our lives. And the key to that is obedience. We must personally, repeatedly, be obedient to God. As a family, we need the presence of God in our families. The key to that is obedience. And as a family unit, doing the best we can to be obedient in our roles. Dad being obedient in his role. And mom being obedient in her role. And the children being obedient in their role. And that's how God's glory cloud comes on a family and church-wise. We need the presence of God on our assembly. And church, the key to that is not the size of our offerings. And the key to that is not updating the carpet and the pews and all the things that technology provides today. The key to God's presence coming is obedience. Obedience. The repetition of obedience over and over and over and over. And Jesus put it this way, occupy till I come. Just stay at it, be obedient. So I see, first of all, in this chapter, the repetition of obedience brings the glory cloud. Okay, it's important. And then number two, I see the initiation of obedience. I want you to notice here in the chapter, we don't have time to go through every verse, but I've given you the chapter in summary this morning. The initiation of their obedience. Now listen, how did they initiate being obedient to God? Well, they had to find out what God wanted. Simple, right? How could they obey Him if they did not know what He wanted? Do you know, ladies and gentlemen, there is a difference in ignorance and stupidity? They are not the same. Ignorance is we just don't know. Never been taught. Never learned. Stupidity is having the knowledge and not paying any attention to it. Disregarding it. Here you got the initiation of obedience. They had to learn what God's commands were concerning the construction of the tabernacle. Okay, God, you want us to put it up? First day of the first month, second year out of the land of Egypt? No problem. How do you want us to do it? They had to learn. They could never have gotten started obeying God if they didn't know what was commanded. And folks, did you ever stop to think that church may not be as much about what we can get out of it, what the church can do for us, as it is what we can learn from God today? What can I learn from God today that I can take home? What is His will for my life? What can I learn about how He expects me to live and think and talk and behave? How can I better obey Him because of what I learned today? That's the initiation of obedience. It's learning Christ. It's not just learning the do's and don'ts. It's learning Him, about Him, of Him, from Him. For the purpose of what? Saying we know it? No. For the purpose of obedience. Obeying Him. Obeying Him. Obeying Him. The initiation of obedience. The truth of the matter is, there should be a real heart's desire in all of us to know more and more and more and more of God's will. So that we can walk around and talk about how much we know? No. So that we can obey Him. Amen. We can obey Him. I want to be able to obey Him better tomorrow than I obeyed Him on yesterday because I came to church. Maybe I didn't even think about it yesterday and I came to church on Sunday morning and a loudmouth preacher got up and bellowed about it for 30 or 40 minutes and told me to obey God. But you go home with a heart on fire to obey Him. That's what it's for. Obey Him. Obey Him. You need the glory cloud. I need the glory cloud. I can't figure it all out. You can't figure it all out. We need Him. Man, learn. Learn and learn. And do you remember? Now, this won't really touch, I guess. This won't really catch the attention of young people or adults who were saved as a child. But man, for those of us that were saved a little later in life, do you remember the early days of your salvation? You know, my heart was on fire to learn. To learn. My heart was on fire to know. To obey Him. There was a reality of His presence in my life, the likes of which I had never known before. I mean, I know I was saved then. I got saved. I understand the Spirit of God moves in. That makes all the difference in the world. But it was more than that. There was a hunger. There was a drive. There was a passion. I think my mom could testify to that. There was a passion in my heart to learn and know and learn and know and learn and know for the purpose of obeying Him and living for Him And church, that's what it just overwhelmed me this week. This is not what I wanted to preach, but God said, you must take this word, you must take this food, you must take it out of my oven and go tell the people that come to the assembly of Faith Baptist Church on Sunday that this matter of obedience is paramount. Paramount. You got the repetition of obedience. You got the initiation of obedience. Oh, that God would give us a heart like we had when we were first saved. And now it's been 20 years, 30 years, 40 years. And our heart doesn't even burn anymore. But maybe God this morning could ignite a fire in us. It would ignite a flame of desire and passion to know what God wants and obey God and live for God. I'm talking about the initiation of obedience took place as they learned what God wanted them to do. Pick out something from the service today that God speaks to your heart about and obey Him this week and come back next Sunday with another hungry heart to learn more and obey Him and come back next week and hunger and thirst after. I'm talking about simple Christian living. Amen. Obedience. The repetition of obedience, the initiation of obedience. And then the third thing this morning is the culmination of obedience. And I've already talked about it. The culmination of obedience is in verse 34. When the cloud covered the tent of the congregation, then the cloud came. Then the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. People, this is the reward of obedience. This is the result of it. God's presence dwells on us, leads us, protects us, blesses us, helps us. That's the culmination. The glory cloud. You ever been around anybody that you knew just by their countenance, their actions, behavior, you kind of knew, man, the glory cloud's on that man. I've walked into homes and knew immediately that the glory cloud was on this place. No doubt about it. It's God's touch. It's God's presence in a unique way. It's God's leadership. I'm not talking about perfect. No. But I'm talking about a home where the glory cloud of God's presence can reside. And dad, mom, widow, widower, whoever's inside that house, doesn't matter. It's a family unit. Their heart is set, bent on obeying God. And God takes great pleasure in that. You know what? I stand up here this morning and I preach this. And I look out and I'm seeing heads nod and everything. And I appreciate that, church. But let me ask you a question. It's one thing to nod your head. What are you going to do about it? One thing to nod our heads and say, yep, trust and obey, for there's no other. Yep, even though the song, Pastor, we can nod our heads up and down until the cows come home. Until we walk out those doors, or those doors, or those doors, and decide. I fumbled the ball recently in obedience to God. And I want the glory cloud. I want the glory cloud of God's. Folks, I'm not talking about anything spooky. I'm not talking about anything weird, charismatic. I'm not talking about that at all. I'm talking about living in the reality of God's sweet, precious presence. Oh, man. And that anointing and that blessing on our lives. And I'm not even going to get into the specifics. Why should I? Our problem is not knowing what to do for the most part. Our problem is just doing it. Being obedient. Our problem in our marriages is we know when to shut our mouths. We just don't do it. We know what it means to defer anger. We just don't do it. Don't obey. We can stand around and sit around for hours talking about all the things we know. So if we're not ignorant, then the only alternative is we're what? I didn't say it. You did, okay? And to be honest with you, without hating to use the word, it's a little bit stupid. It really is. To have the availability of a glory cloud descend upon our lives and not take advantage of it because we just don't obey God. And you know what's wonderful about this? Everybody can do it. Everybody can do it. Doesn't take intellect. Doesn't take finances. Doesn't take education in the academic sense. Doesn't take genetic, physical strength. Just takes willing heart. I'll obey. I'll obey. And the glory cloud descends. I will be specific about one thing. There is a simple command that everybody in this room can obey, and that is the command that Jesus Christ, that God gave to every person to repent. Do you know that God commands all men everywhere to repent? And in that particular verse in Acts chapter 17, it's talking about salvation. There is repentance for the child of God after salvation. But in that verse, in that chapter, he's talking about salvation. And when you disregard other of God's commands, it will cost you the abiding presence of the glory cloud. But when you disregard the command to repent and be saved, it will cost you heaven. And you don't want to disobey that one. So if you're not sure you're saved this morning, start there. Amen. Repent. You cannot separate the word repent from the word humility. It's being humble enough to come and say, I'm not saved. And if you're a child of God this morning, you are saved. And you look at your life and you want the glory cloud. You get what I'm talking about this morning. I'm not talking about the indwelling Holy Spirit. I'm talking about the hovering presence of God's touch on your life. Your home turns a church service into a meeting with God, turns a song into a ministry, turns a Sunday school class into sitting at the feet of Jesus. You know how that happens? Obey and obey and obey and obey. Hey, Saul, there's nothing better. Listen to God and obey. Do it. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed this morning. Thank you for listening. Father in heaven, I trust that the word was, Lord, preached in such a fashion that your Spirit could take it today and do something with it in the hearts of our people. And oh, God, I don't want to just have a service. Lord, we need meetings with you. Meetings where our hearts are stirred. Meetings, Lord, where our hearts are more than stirred. We're changed a little bit. Help us to be obedient people for you, to you. Thank you for the glory cloud, that presence, that abiding influence of love and mercy and grace that comes upon a believer, a family, a church assembly. God, would you please send us home today with a hunger, a thirst, a desire to be an obedient child to you, our Heavenly Father. And I trust, O God, that we would live in such a fashion that the glory cloud descends upon us. And we sense that real abiding presence of grace and mercy, peace, joy, love. Oh, may it be so. I pray and ask for that, O God, on my own life, the family that I have within the walls of my house, this church, O God, please help us be your children, children of obedience, I ask. In Jesus' name, heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Would there be somebody today, Pastor, when you close in a moment, just I want to raise my hand, indication that my heart was spoken to this morning. Would you lift a hand wherever you're sitting in the room today about this matter of obedience, obedience. And you take your hand down. You know, listen, you young couples, you're all, listen, concerned about your children and how it's all going to turn. I get it. When I got to get this and I got to get that and I got to do this and I got to have this. And I'm not against all the things that go into child rearing, but I want to tell you something. You want to do something for your children that no book written by man can teach you? You get the glory cloud on your home. Get it on your home. Obey God. And we're all going to fall short. But we get up and we get started again. And we get started again. And we obey. We obey. So somebody this morning would say, Pastor, I'm not sure I'm saved. Would you lift a hand this morning? I'll pray for you. Anyone in the crowd, I'm not sure I'm saved. I've been disobedient to God and that command to repent and be born again. Anybody like that? If you're here this morning, you've been saved and not baptized, you come. Follow the Lord. Let's stand together. Lord, bless the invitation. Thank you for every hand that was raised. Speak to the heart that needs it most this morning, mine included, in Christ's name. As we have the song of invitation, the altar is open. You obey the Lord this morning.
Come every soul by sin oppressed, there's mercy with the Lord. And He will surely give you rest by trusting in His Word. Only trust Him, only trust Him, only trust Him now. He will save you, He will save you, He will save you now. For Jesus shed His precious blood, rich blessings to bestow. Plunge now into the crimson flood that washes white as snow. Only trust Him, only trust Him, only trust Him now. He will save you, He will save you, He will save you now.
Have you obeyed God this morning, yes, in this invitation time? Have you started by now obeying Him? Sweet Holy Spirit slipped by your pew and said, this is it. This is what this is for you this morning. Listen.
Will
you speak to your heart? Have you obeyed Him this morning in this service? Will you obey when you leave here just a little bit?
Only trust Him. Only trust Him. Only trust Him now. He will save you. He will save you. He will save you now.
Just the piano. I thank God years ago for a Sunday school teacher in this church who faithfully taught some little girls that obedience was the key to blessing. Obedience is the key to blessing. Obedience is the key to blessing. And that has not left. Those little girls who are now adult married women still remind us of that little quote once in a while in conversation. Obedience is the key to blessing. It is. It's not rocket science. Something within my grasp and within your grasp, within my family's grasp and your family's grasp, to obey Him. And then the glory cloud comes. What a blessing. Then it comes. Fills the home. Fills the life. That's how the glory cloud comes. It's not some wild, crazy, fanatical anything. It's just obedience. Obeying God.